I'm Freddie, host of Unforgotten, a podcast series which dives into the 2009 unsolved murder of Matt Stewart. The following is a special question and answer episode featuring a conversation recorded earlier this week between myself and Steve, moderator of the Unforgotten Forum, located at unforgotten.freeforums.net.
It's great to be back at the Q&A. It's been a very, very long time. Part of that was scheduling difficulties. Part of it was just a lot going on. And then we can also blame technical difficulties. Full disclosure, this is take two of this Q&A, but better late than never.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Hopefully doing it the second time, we can do it even better than we did the first time around. All right, let's hit up with questions right away. On the forum, Batman and others asked about the barbecue or supposed event that was mentioned in the last episode. Have you learned anything else about this? And if the barbecue actually happened? And if so, when? Who attended? How could it relate to this case?
I have heard more things about the barbecue and gotten some tips that I've been trying to track down. Unfortunately, there are these things that people just don't like to talk about. There are people that know things that, for whatever reason, there's a cone of silence around this. So I've become aware of some individuals that were at the supposed barbecue, and I'm hoping that they will talk to me. I've reached out to some people, but I'd like to ask anyone listening to this that may know someone that was at the barbecue or that was there themselves, please reach out to me. I would love to talk to you about your experience.
On Facebook, someone asked about Matt's digital footprint. In your research, have you found Matt had a visible online presence on social media or anything?
In my amateur research, I would say no. He had a Facebook page. He seemed to have either not used it very much or maybe had just created it before his death. Other than that, I don't have very much. But again, if there's listeners out there that know of things as far as Matt's activities online, would love to see that. Get at me, unforgottenpod@gmail.com.
On the forum, there was a long thread about your interview with Danielle. People were questioning why she wouldn't have checked her phone to see who Brenda called, given the bizarre circumstances. It appears as though Danielle herself logged onto the forum and defended herself, and has since been reasonably prolific in responding to people's questions and giving her own theories. Do you care to comment on any of that?
I think people were surprised, myself included, to see someone that was interviewed on the podcast come onto the forum and engage in the conversation. It's just a frustrating situation. Hindsight being 2020, folks that have been paying attention to this case, myself included, are just constantly frustrated with the lack of clarity on certain things. And people ask some questions that, you know, were, I think, reasonable questions. And she was able to come and kind of defend herself and the actions that she took or failed to take. But, you know, also I appreciate her being pretty candid and saying there are things looking back that I should have done. Like I've said in previous Q&As, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt. You add a bit of skepticism to everything that you hear. But given all that she said and all that I've heard, talking with other neighbors, many times confirming some of the claims that she's made, I certainly believe that she's being genuine and was super excited to see her jump on the forum.
I do have to say also, it takes a lot of guts to go and do something public like that. It's easy for people to jump all over her and question her motives or the details. And she's willing to be right out there toe-to-toe with people, answering everything directly and openly. It's something really I wish we could see more of in this case, where people get their viewpoints out publicly and become part of the discussion instead of having it be discussed around them. Okay. Robbie D. shared an image from Google Maps circa 2013. The image is from the perspective of Highway 21, looking at the berm leading to the Stewart's backyard. He commented that if someone, say a peeper or a burglar, had pulled into the gas station, they probably could have had an unobstructed direct view into the second floor rooms in the back. Has anyone gone out there at night to the gas station and seen what you can see with binoculars?
First of all, I appreciate Robbie D's comment and the research he put into it. I would plead with folks not to look at anybody's house with binoculars. The folks that live where this happens deserve privacy. I can say that when you and I went to look at the house, you know, from that angle that he was referring to from the Shell station, in my recollection, at least, the house didn't really stick out. I mean, you could kind of see the top of the roof. 10 years ago, maybe you could see the house. Even if that's the case, I think what he was referring to, the Golden State Killer and kind of the random spree killer kind of motive, it would be hard for me to entertain that notion with just all of the other circumstantial stuff leaning in the opposite way, especially in this season, have really taken a hard turn away from that just because the unlikelihood is, to others I've spoken with that have a more educated opinion, it seems so highly unlikely. But I certainly appreciate the research that he did. What can be said is that if those trees were lower and you could see and identify Matt's house from Highway 21, it opens the possibility that someone that knew Matt but maybe was not intimately knowledgeable of the neighborhood could have identified his house and planned out an entrance or exit strategy. Or even if the murder was somewhat spontaneous, they could have seen, maybe picked out his house, and that could explain, if that route was taken, how it could have been taken, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I don't believe that when we were there, there was anything about the approach that specifically brought to attention their house. I don't remember seeing anything like a back window that would have been into their bedroom or anything like that. Okay. So after the episode where you interviewed the gentleman who goes by the name of Clay, people have been curious more about this inheritance squabble that you referenced. Have you gotten any further information about the details of that?
I have. I did some public record requests. It seems to me, looking at the documents from the settlement agreement, some of the conflict was centered around the validity of an earlier last will and testament from Matt's step-grandfather. An earlier version of the will was deemed to be invalid. Short answer is yes. I have learned more about that.
Okay, back to forum questions. Curious 1985 posted a question about something you alluded to in your interview with Michelle. She brought up someone being released from jail, someone Matt may have been affiliated with years and years before. And Freddie asks her, if I were to say his name, but then of course there was a silence and nothing. So she also heard this rumor about someone being released around the same time as the murder. She was curious if that person was ever questioned, as far as you know.
If we are referring to the same person, then yes, that person was questioned.
And then she followed up. Obviously, she understands that you cannot just mention their name, but do you believe that it's a plausible theory?
In my personal opinion, yes, I do believe it's a plausible theory. I'll say we will be exploring it in further episodes, with the exception of protecting certain identities and not making any outlandish, unproven claims. I'm going to put everything out on the table. Basically, we'll be discussing it. Yeah.
Okay. Second Best had an interesting comment. He said, I find it very interesting that when the music video people called and when Freddie first called about telling their story, the family was all chatty. But as soon as Freddie started asking some tough questions, silence from the family and even threats. If they aren't telling their miraculous version of the story, they don't want to talk about it anymore. Any comments on this?
I mean, I would, I guess, agree. I would probably argue that the questions that I asked weren't really tough questions. I mean, when somebody's murdered and the murder is unsolved, asking who do you think could have done it, to me, that's a pretty elementary question. Obviously, it wasn't discussed in the music video. The purpose of the video was not kind of around the murder, but it was around folks' ability to come out of difficult situations. But I think that as widely circulated as it was, it is to me notable and disturbing. There is no mention in the video that the murder was still unsolved. Angel's current husband and his brother were the ones that made the video. I would think that folks that really want to get to the bottom of what happened to Matt would want to put a plea in there If you have any information about who killed Matt Stewart, please call the Mooresville Police Department. You know, why wasn't the sketch used? You would think that if you're given a kind of national platform like that, it's just very odd that she's willing to talk about it publicly, just that she's not willing to use that platform to try to get to the bottom of who killed her husband.
Is it true that she's also stood up in front of the congregation at the River Life Church and recounted the events that happened?
She did, yeah, and probably not that much more detail than she did in the video. But yeah, she has talked publicly in other settings, but my criticism, I wouldn't issue it lightly. But I think it's due when there's this 10-year-old murder and the family refuses to talk to the press. And when they finally do come out with obviously something that somebody's poured some money into and they have the ability to reach thousands and thousands of people to finally talk about this murder, this part about the fact that the killer is still out there posing an imminent threat to the rest of the community, aside from the fact that they've already killed someone who deserves justice, they're going to leave that part out is just to me, I mean, it's haunting.
Okay, one last follow-up to everything. There seems to be some drama going on within the Mooresville Police Department in recent weeks. Both the chief of the police and the police captain have been suspended in the wake of an internal investigation. Does this relate at all to the Matt Stewart case?
No, I don't think it relates directly. There's certainly concerns that come up in terms of we're looking at an agency waiting anxiously for answers and only to see press about investigations into the investigators, accusations from the police chief, really, of corruption. There are some legitimate questions that people can raise about the effectiveness of an agency that at the genesis of this whole thing, when the murder happened, that police chief, who's no longer there, had just accepted that full-time role. It was like his third day on the job as the full-time chief. He got into that role because of a scandal and corruption within the department that ended up taking down a police chief who was actually indicted for misuse of police funds. And now 10 years later, at the 10-year anniversary, instead of seeing headlines about the progress that the investigation has made, we're still investigating the investigators. And I think, God, I'm getting really pissed off during this thing. I think what is most frustrating to me was seeing that the Mooresville Police Department had hired an outside agency that specializes in these kind of internal investigations to basically work the investigation. Thinking of Matt's case, what would it take for the Mooresville Police Department to prioritize Matt's case the way that they seem to prioritize personnel investigations, that we could have national experts in cold case investigations come in, look at the facts of the case. If 10 years hasn't resulted in anything, any kind of progress that would be notable enough or important enough to make an announcement, to make a public update, clearly success has not been attained. Why is it that the public is being updated about this investigation into, you know, petty political or even corrupt practices or hostile work environment, whatever this really is all about, but there has not been experts called in to help with the Matt Stewart investigation? Maybe there has been, and we haven't heard of it. Well, I think that in light of these recent developments, the public probably has a very healthy skepticism of the effectiveness of this police department. And to help regain the public confidence, they would publicly call in qualified experts, national experts. And if there's anything that I can do to help bring those national experts in, you know, we would be willing to do that. I don't think that at this point they can expect the public to trust that they have been doing their due diligence on this case, one, after 10 years and no results, and two, after many within the police department themselves have come out and talked about a hostile work environment, retribution for internal investigations. If they're telling the truth, a kind of agency really that you couldn't trust with this investigation. So I think that the impetus is on them to act in some way or another. And I certainly hope that the interim chief does just that.
Well, speaking of that, just a few days ago, we had the 10-year anniversary of his murder. I didn't see anything from the Mooresville Police Department talking about it being a 10-year-old case or any local media or press touching on it at all. Did you see anything like that?
No, there wasn't anything.
That's just such a shame that this such an important date, the 10-year milestone, has came and went without anything more public being brought to people's attention.
It's unacceptable.
So as a last comment, where are you hoping to go from here? Is there anything that you're working on that you're hoping pans out in the near future?
I have some buns in the oven, leads I've been following up on. In the month of June, there won't be a new episode. There'll be a bit of a break, and the next episode will drop sometime in July or August, and there'll be a few more episodes after that, and that will end out the series.
All right. Well, thank you again for allowing me and all the forum users to pose our questions. Guys, please check out unforgotten.freeforums.net. Gives you an opportunity to talk with other people who are also interested in the case and to share information that you may have. All right, that's a wrap.
If you have any suggestions about topics or questions to be included in future special episodes, you can submit them on the forum. Sign up at unforgotten.freeforums.net. Unforgotten is a Bold Era production, written and recorded by myself, Freddie Wilson, in the always sunny Daytona Beach, Florida. As always, this series is dedicated to the life of Matt Stewart. May his memory remain unforgotten.